What's up, Escape Artesians? This is Marshall Kuchar, or Couture, also known as Complex in hip-hop circles, and you're listening to the Escape Artist Podcast. It's the middle of the week. Don't really necessarily have a topic, but I'm awake, have a little bit of time to drive, and I feel like talking. So that's what's up. Start up with updates as usual. Things going on with Mr. Marshall. Haven't gotten any extra work done on the animation project. That's, I guess, going to be on hiatus for a while. Who knows? It's weird, like, scheduling these things, like, any of this stuff, all these projects and stuff I'm working on, because I kind of just fit things in when I find pockets of time that I'm not exhausted, and, the podcast, it's like, sometimes I'll podcast, and it's like, I'm trying to really push it, and that's kind of how it's been the last couple times. I want to sound, like I said, positive and stuff. So, you know, I try to do it when there's more energy, take advantage of that time. I've been wanting to do interviews. It's hard to find time to schedule. I get home from work and it's kind of up in the air whether or not I can, do anything, because, you know, that's the time I spend with my wife and stuff, and I don't want to, like, put too much a strain on that, because, you know, obviously, life is not only about work and art, you know. If it becomes that, then, you know, it can get pretty bleak pretty quickly, you know. I mean, art is awesome, as awesome as it is, and how much I love to do it, you know, it's only part of the whole person, you know. So, yeah. So that's what's up with that. I have been chipping away on some things here and there a little bit. I've been working on this album illustration for my buddy Kaz Mehta. And it's kind of cool, like, It's weird, like, I actually just got an email today, about it, and, you know, he was, he's, in the first look, he dug the stuff that I showed him so far, but then on the second look, he's like, you know, I'm not quite sure if this is going in the right direction or whatever, and it's tough, you know. This is what's kind of weird, like, it doesn't bother me at all. Like, I understand what he's saying, and I kind of expected what he said to be said, you know? And that's why, like, what it is, like, when you're working on an illustration for a client, you know, a lot of times people will promise or say, you know, okay, and I've done it too, I do it, you know, I'm going to send you some sketches of different ideas, do some thumbnailing, and come up with some options, and then you can pick from that, and then we'll move forward from that. Well, the thing is with this one, you know, he said you can kind of have the reins, do what you feel, but you still want to kind of do that whole sketch thing and whatnot. But the thing is, I'm finding out about my own style, I guess, is even with my own work, like, I don't really do much preliminary work. I don't do a lot of thumbnails and planning it out and trying to get the best possible angle and stuff. Oftentimes, I just go with my first thought, you know, when, you know, you kind of form these images in your head, and I kind of do all the pre-planning in my head, I guess, because I do more of that in my head than other people do, you know. It's maybe the difference between when people, like, some people really talk a lot, and I think it's because that's how they think better. Like, they think better when they're talking. Like, that's how they work things out. And I've at times been a little bit like that, but most of the time I'm more of an internal person. Like, I don't really talk unless I think about what I'm saying first. And sometimes that's good, you know, because a lot of people don't think before they speak, but sometimes it's not, because I still say dumb stuff. I still say stuff that's, like, embarrassing. Maybe it's the socially awkward part of me. But, so, you know, there's kind of two different ways to go about it. But, you know, I kind of, the parallel is kind of to art with, you know, I tell people I'm going to do sketches and send it to them, but then if I'm doing a little sketch and I like it, I'll just want to ink it, you know, and then color it and all that, you know. So it's like, it's tough for me to be like, to say that, you know. Maybe I shouldn't get into illustration like I'm trying to, I don't know. The only thing that makes me want to get into illustration, well, I shouldn't say the only thing, because I do like illustrating. I love the art of being an illustrator, you know, as opposed to a traditional fine artist type of style, you know. And I like that too, but, you know, I really enjoy trying to communicate with images and design and you know, illustrate. So, you know, but the other thing that really makes me want to do illustration, obviously, you know, is for the business side of things, is, you know, if I do, you know, commissions and stuff, well, you know, you don't get that much money from that. For illustrations, the potential, at least, of money could be a lot, you know, and well, way much, much more worth my while. But it's tough. Maybe I should start focusing mostly on commissions and just work my way up, you know. Maybe I'm just not used to working on art for other people. So I'm starting to get used to that. And commissions, you know, there's a lot less pressure. You know, a lot less noodling, a lot less trying to be precious with it. You know, like a convention style sketch is one of the things I offer as a commission. And, you know, at a convention, you do these things real quick, you know, 10 minutes maybe. You know, if they're going longer than 10 minutes, then they should be a different price point, that's for sure. But if you're doing like little, especially free sketches and stuff like that, you know, keep it simple, you know. So keep saying you know too much, sorry about that. So I don't know, maybe I should try to stick to that instead of doing illustration work, because illustration work takes up a lot of time. And I find myself wanting to do my own projects, and, you know, it's kind of really tough to try to balance doing illustration and getting, you know, your personal projects done. So anyways, like I said, I got this email from my buddy Cass. You know, no bad blood or anything. Not trying to, like, he's a real cool dude. He'll probably be like, oh, okay, I didn't see what you're saying. I see what you're saying now or something. But I emailed him back because I put the pictures up online on the Sketch Daily group. And if you possibly have seen these or remember these, there's a drawing of a woman eating a popsicle, and another drawing of two guys in a car, and then there's a girl next to the car. And then there's a drawing of a like an angel with like a battle angel type of thing. Like he's got kind of like armor and stuff with a sword and a microphone in his hand. But it's done in like graphite and stuff with like, you know, gradient graphite, I guess. I don't know if that's the right term. I keep using the word term gradient, but I don't know what else, how else to call it. But, so the concept of the album is it's two styles being put together. Like he showed me the whole album or whatever. So I listened to it and took a lot of cues from that to make the illustration. And, it was a merge of two styles and literally split in half. And the album's called Double-Edged Sword. So, and he emailed me back and he's like, you know, it almost seems like two different artists did this. You know, I'm wondering if we should maybe scrap the whole Angel part. You know, maybe that's a little bit too much of a literal translation, which it is pretty literal. Obviously, double-edged sword, he's holding a sword. So he was thinking maybe scrap that. And then I wrote back to him explaining, you know, that's kind of the point. You know, I'm trying to do two different styles that contrast, and that'll bring the eye in and stuff when there's a big contrast and stuff. And, you know, a few different artistic things that I kind of tried to let him know about. And we'll see what he says. But there's a million other ways I can go with the illustration. And it doesn't bother me that I've kind of finished these drawings, sort of, at least in the ink stage or whatever, or the black and white stage. And then I might have to redo some of it or whatever. That's cool with me because, like, you know, it's not... I'm not a professional illustrator. Well, I shouldn't say that, but I'm not, like... I haven't been working in professional freelance illustration. Like, it's not my bread and butter full-time type of stuff. You know, it's kind of something I'm doing on the side. And I don't mind. You know, I want to just get something done that he really is satisfied with. And that's kind of my selling point a little bit. A lot of artists will say, you know, only, you know, up to... a few, like, I don't know, 2, 3, 4 free, like, changes on the artwork, and then you have to start paying for changes. I've tried that, and I don't really like that model. I feel like I'm holding back stuff, and I like the idea of being able to say, we're not gonna finish here until you're absolutely satisfied. And it gives, it creates a little bit of trust in the customer. It lets them know that they, you know, they're going to get what they want, you know, and I feel that. I don't want to give them something that's not really what they want, but they signed, you know, they agreed, so they're going to go with good enough, you know. If it gets to that point, you know, I'll have them pay halfway up front, and then if they don't like it, you know, there'll be that kind of clause, like, you know, I still get the half up front, but... you know, we just won't go further with the project because things just aren't working out, which from what I hear, you can do that, but it's, you know, it doesn't happen very often if you're a good illustrator. You know, you're going to do your best to satisfy the customer. So, so there's that, you know, been working on that. It's a fun project because, you know, it's hip hop, it's my style, and I'm given a lot of creative freedom, and I really enjoy it. And I just wish I had more time to really get the thing done. And that was part of the thing, is like, it feels weird. Like, it's hard to show people stuff, especially with the approach I'm taking, without giving them a bunch of sketches and saying, here are your options. And just going with my first instinct, like... if it's only partially done, they're not going to necessarily get it. But maybe when I finish, you know, the cover piece where the two styles are mixed and the color, you know, you can do a lot of things with color to make the styles mesh better, but still have that contrast. And, you know, that's kind of how I was thinking I would bring the stuff together, but I wanted to show them something. So, you know, I did. And I ended up getting the response that I would expect because I didn't send him something a little more finished that really shows the vision of what I'm looking looking to do. It's kind of a tough balancing act, I guess, to do that. But, you know, it is what it is. I'm learning, you know. So it's a cool, fun learning process. And there's not a lot of pressure and stuff, so I'm happy about that. Other stuff, I've been working on a lot of music, which is really cool. It's nice to kind of get into a little bit of a different creative mode. It's weird when you do music. It's like the passion is just as strong, like, as when I'm doing art. Like, they're both like equally awesome passions and inspirational creative outlets, but for whatever reason there's something, and I guess it's just the nature of the medium, I guess it's just such a different mode, like, and it's nice to have a different mode of creativity to kind of, it almost makes, it's like a way of taking a break or whatever from what you've been focusing on to kind of re-energize and focusing on something a little bit different. And I've done this in the past too, like if I'm kind of at a getting stuck with one project, I'll go to a different project, but it'll be like between music and art, you know, it'll be flip-flopping between the two, and it's kind of nice to oscillate in that pattern if you can in some way. Rob Stenzinger actually, I think, talked about that in one of his newer Polytechnicasts. And he, I think, was talking about switching between coding development and design in that aspect, and maybe art. I can't remember exactly what he was switching between, but it reminded me of this music and art thing that I do, sometimes. So yeah, if you haven't seen the announcement on the Facebook and all that, I am in the process of writing for a new album, new solo album. It's going to be called Match Made in Human. So, and I'm really excited about it. It's basically my buddy Engelbert. He's the guy who made the beat for the Locust Fist song that I've been working on the video for. That's an old song, and I've also done written songs and recorded songs on other albums that I have, and just songs in general, because some of the stuff didn't actually go on a project, but to his beats. And usually, like, funny thing is some of my best songs, like most of my best songs, are written to his beats. I don't know why. My voice just, I think, works well with his style of beat or something. And so he sent me recently basically about 30 more beats, because he does them in 15 song instrumental albums, and then he just gives them out to free to all kinds of like different people who he's friends with, and lets them do whatever they want with them. You know, he doesn't try to make money from it. It's just something he likes to do. So he sent me 2 new CDs or whatever. It was not actually CDs. It was just MP3, or not MP3s, but, you know, like downloads. So, you know, it got me inspired, and I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to make an album out of the beats from some of his stuff. And so he's going to be handling all the production, and or at least the beats, and yeah. So yeah, I'm going to be doing that album, and it's really cool. Like, I've been listening to his beats the last week or so, and, you know, one day I actually wrote 2 songs, and then I asked a friend of mine who I've been wanting to do a collaboration with for a long time, this dude, Jonathan Toth. You know, he's also works with Engelbert a lot, so I was like, hey, since I'm doing this album with Engelbert's beats, let's finally get on that collaboration, you know, we've been talking about forever. So I wrote a verse for that song too, so I have to write 1 more verse for that, and then that song will be in the bag as well. So that's 3 songs. Well, he's got to do his verse and stuff too, So three songs that are almost done being written. And I think it's really cool. Like, I think that's the approach I'm going to take. Because with my previous albums, I kind of did, well, it was different for every album. The first, there's other albums before that, but I'm just going to talk about the ones that are kind of up on my site. But B-Sides First, that's kind of what people see as my first album. Even though it's more of a collaboration album, it's not a solo album. But I am on every track. That was kind of a crazy jumble. Engelbert had some beats on there. I had some beats on there. Some other people. This dude, Dr. Goo, had some beats on there. My buddy Kodak had beats on there. A bunch of people had beats on there. It was a real collaborative effort. Only like four or so songs had just me on it. Everything else was, you know, different artists with me. And so, you know, it was kind of put together here and there, and it was tough. It wasn't like the way you would normally write an album. But, you know, it's fun to do those collaborations. I love collaborating with people. So that was kind of how that one went. And to be honest, I don't remember exactly how it went because it was a while ago. It was not 10 years ago, but it was like maybe 7 years ago or something. So there's that. And then the solo album that I did, the Solar Wind Theory, that one was kind of similar, except for I made all the beats and it was a solo album. So I was kind of working out songwriting, learning a lot more with songwriting in that album. And learning how to stand alone on my own tracks more and with a full album. But there was a lot of collaborations, but you know, I handled all the illustration, all the beats, all the production. The only thing I didn't do with the album was master it. I had my buddy Kodak, like, do some final touches after I mixed it. And he made it kind of sound a little better and stuff, which is awesome. And that's probably what I'll do, too, for the rest of my albums, is just have somebody master it mostly. But, you know, I'm really digging doing this with Engelbert, because all the beats are made. I'm not worrying about the beats. There's so much, I mean, just beat making in and of itself and putting together an album in that way has so many considerations, so many things. It's, you know, not as in-depth as making comics so much, but still, it's a lot of work. It takes time. You know, not every beat you make is gold. Not every beat fits the album. So, you know, you get times where you're like, oh, am I just wasting my time here making this beat and it doesn't even sound right, blah, blah, blah. And then you got to mix the beat, which is, that's a whole other thing. Like with these beats, pretty much Engelbert does a pretty good job with mixing it. There's no distorted areas. Everything's pretty clear and the levels are pretty much where I would want them anyways. So all I really have to mix with this is the beat and the vocals, put those together and mix them instead of all the individual tracks. That's a big load off. It'll be a lot easier to get a nice sound with that for me. Takes a big load off of my back. And I even was thinking of maybe getting somebody else to illustrate it. I don't know. That's still up in the air. I think it would be really cool to see if I could get Mahfood to illustrate it, which that might be thinking way too far, like high. But the only reason I really say that is because Engelbert and Jonathan Toth, like, they come out of the frozen food section label, and it's actually run by Jonathan Toth, and he has a bunch of different artists and stuff, and a bunch of his albums and stuff related to his albums have had Jin Mahfood's artwork on it, because I don't know if Mahfood comes from St. Louis or not, but that's where, like, all those other guys are from, St. Louis. But somehow they knew each other from way back. Like, they've known each other for a long time, maybe even before Jin Mahfood really got famous. I know I heard of Jin Mahfood from them way before I ever heard him, like, in comics and stuff. But, so, he's done a lot of covers for them, and I wonder if there's maybe a connection I can make there. It doesn't have to, you know. I don't know, we'll see. Obviously, I'd want to pay him. I don't have any money to pay him now, but, that kind of brings me to my other thing I was going to talk about, is I think I might go with a Kickstarter for this project. And I haven't thought too far into how I'm going to put this whole project together. I know that from now on, or from since ever after the Solar Wind Theory album and after I made my first comic, I pretty much knew that whatever I do with music, I want it to be like both music and comics or art in some way, shape, or form. So like a kind of a double product type of thing. Maybe just artist editions of the album, I don't know. I got to kind of brainstorm on how I want to put this out. I think there's a lot of different things I could do with this project. I'm thinking also about possibly printing vinyl, which means I'll have to have make a pretty decent amount for a Kickstarter. And my last Kickstarter was only $500 goal, I think, and I got to $600. So, I mean, that's pretty small as Kickstarters go. It's hard for me to believe, though. That was a tough one to do, actually. But that's also when Kickstarter was new. I also had not known pretty much most of you guys. I hadn't really been involved with art and story as much back then. And just different networking things. There's a lot more people that I talk to on a regular basis now than I did before. So maybe that kind of push will help. You know, I didn't have a regular podcast. You know, maybe I'll be able to get more. It's hard to believe, though. I gotta try to have faith in myself. But, you know, whatever. Any way you cut it, the project's gonna come out. So, you know, if I do a Kickstarter and it fails, well, that's okay, because I'm still going to do the project. It's just going to probably be on a smaller scale. There might be some things I can't do because if I can't get the Kickstarter funding, we shall see. But first, I got to write the album. I want to get the whole album written. Once that's done, then maybe record at least one or two songs before I start a Kickstarter. And I also want to figure out what the package is going to be, you know. Will it be a mix of a comic book and an album? I think after I write the album, like, that might dictate where I'm going to go with it, you know. I'll have a little bit more idea of what I'm doing with this album. And I'd also definitely would like to have, well, at least one music video for the album. But, you know, people nowadays with music are doing music videos. Not everybody, but some people are doing, like, music videos now with the YouTube thing for every single song on the albums that they do. Not many are doing animated music videos. And that way, I would only be doing animated and music videos, most likely. I mean, I could do other kinds, but, you know, it's not necessarily what I'm looking to do. I would rather do animated just because I want to. That takes a lot of time. I still haven't figured that whole thing out. Actually, I figured some more out, though. And I think you know, if I can get this program to edit the video scenes, that'll be a big step. And also, there's like a DVD that kind of teaches you about animation that will help me in syncing this stuff up and putting it all together. So I'm probably going to get that too. If I can get that in the bag, like, and learn from that, then I might be able to make a video for at least a few of the songs. Maybe I'll have one or two videos to start it off, to kind of for pre-sales and stuff, or pre-orders and stuff, and then kind of roll out the rest of the videos after the album's released. I also wonder too about, you know, the video product, like putting the videos into a DVD type of thing and selling that eventually. And the only person I really see doing that is Jim Lujan. And I think he has some pretty good success with it, actually. And actually, I think, funny enough that I'm talking about this, too, is Jim Lujan just recently contacted me and said, hey, if you're interested, you know, I would be more than willing to do, like, a podcast or whatever to get this animation stuff out and all that. And I'm like, yeah, of course. I mean, the only reason I haven't asked him is because I'm having a hard time scheduling these podcasts, you know, and like I said, there's a lot of people I'd like to interview. So since he asked, you know, he's going to be right up at the top of the list. First, I got to get the Ryan Wheaton one done, because we have an announcement and stuff we want to do with that. And I also should probably do one with Rob Stenzinger, because he did one with me, and, you know, I'd like to return the favor, but I also just want to interview him about some things. So, you know, Jim Lujan's right up there, though, and a bunch of you guys I'd like to do a podcast with, too. So all that stuff is in due time. Some people have asked me to be on their podcast as well. And, again, scheduling issues, it's been tough. But, I want to do any podcast I can, you know. So, anyways, yeah, that would definitely be something I would pick his brain about, is, you know, how things work with, selling DVDs as opposed to also putting all that stuff out for free on YouTube. Like, I'm pretty sure Jim's DVDs are all stuff that's available for free on YouTube. There might be some extra bonus, maybe one bonus cartoon that you don't get. And maybe that's the selling point. Maybe people just want to support. Maybe the people he's reaching with the DVDs are different, mostly different people than people who go on our internet, big internet people who watch him on YouTube. It could be that. Like, I mean, I rather would buy a physical comic way before I'd actually read it online. If I had a tablet, that would probably be a different story, but I don't, so, you know. But still, I'd buy a download, you know, if it's cheap. I don't like the fact that these downloads for comics are the same price as the physical, you know. You would think they would be cheaper. Well, I like it in one sense, that for the potential for myself as a comic artist, maybe, you know, that'll give me more money I can make, you know, but as a consumer of the product, it kind of seems like it should be cheaper since it's digital, you know. I don't know. I don't want to get into that debate, because I haven't thought that through very well. That's just my outsider comments on that one. But yeah, so that, look for that interview possibly coming. But yeah, I want to do music videos for the album Match Made in Human. Really excited about this project. Right now I'm kind of trying to land on some topics I want to write for the album, because really it doesn't take a lot of time to write stuff. I mean, I'll go back and rewrite some things here and there, but I've been writing rhymes for, let's see, I think I started when I was like maybe 15, more or less, and I'm getting close to 34 here now, so, you know, that's about 20 years there. Close to 20 years I've been writing rhymes, and doing it pretty consistently. And honestly, even from the beginning, because I did some studying, obviously, like I would study other artists' styles and see how they put these rhymes together and stuff. And even from the beginning, I got a lot of this, the concepts pretty quickly of how to do it. Now, through the years, I've definitely grown and learned some things and gotten better with rhyme schemes and putting this stuff together, but pretty much it hasn't been, you know, it's not really a huge learning curve with writing rhymes. It's not that hard, to tell you the truth. Maybe I'm just, I have a kind of a, more of a tenant, I don't know, a talent towards that. I don't know what, I keep thinking the word proclivity, but I don't know that I even know what that word means. But, you know, I kind of maybe have a talent towards it or something, maybe, I don't know. But I think it is just pretty simple to write a rhyme, I don't know. But anyways, that being said, I've been doing it for 20 years. I've written so many different, you know, structures of rhymes. Like, there's a lot to it, but there's not, it's not difficult, I guess. And right now, I mean, I'm trying to get more, like, I'm trying to get better at executing it when I'm recording it. Like, sometimes that's a little sketchy for me. I mean, I can do it well. I, you know, sounds pretty good on my album, but, you know, things don't always hit as good as they could. Still, I'm still getting that down. But, so hopefully it'll sound even better on the new album, especially not having to focus on so many aspects of the album. So, you know, the point I was getting to is writing a song or writing rhymes to a song with hooks and all that actually isn't that hard anymore. Like, I can sit down and do it, like, even to a subject I don't like, to a beat I don't like, it's become, doing it this long, it's become almost second nature to do this stuff. It's probably my best skill, is writing rhymes. Like, that's the thing that I can do better than anything else that I can do. I wish my art was there. It is, at the level it's at, my art is there, but I still have a lot of work to go to get better with that and master that. And I guess that's the whole point. I think with writing rhymes, I've come to a pretty good mastery. Not where it's stale and boring, but it's still extremely exciting and fun. I still have a lot of new frontiers I want to go with it, especially when it, but it's more related to songwriting and executing it vocally, because I have way more rhymes written in my life than I have songs recorded. You know, I have stacks and stacks of written rhymes that probably will never get recorded, because, you know, some of it's repeat stuff, some of it's not as good as the other stuff, you know, half written rhymes, this and that. I do go back from time to time and pick some out, you know, and use them. And I probably will with this album too. But, you know, a lot of that was practice and stuff. So, yeah. So I'm excited about the album. I'm trying to think about what I'm going to do to package it all up, or, you know, different ways I'm going to release it. And, you know, if you guys have any suggestions, things you think would be cool, you know, kind of to mix the art and the music stuff, the comics, the animation, all that stuff, you know, let me know. I'd love to hear your thoughts. Again, you know, if you could, please, if you have any questions or topic ideas or anything that you would be interested in talking about or commenting on, you know, feel free to come to the blog, write a comment. Make sure you click the thing that says that you will be notified if somebody replies, because I do reply to every comment. And I, you know, sometimes I reply to these comments and, you know, I try to engage. So there might be something, either some advice that might help you that I was saying, or there might be, you know, something you want to respond to. So please feel free to go back and forth with me on the comments page. And the only way you'll know is if you click that, because, you know, otherwise I'd have to go and try to find everybody and, like, say, hey, I replied, and that kind of seems a little maybe intrusive, and also I don't necessarily have the time to go and do all that. So it's definitely better if you can click that thing. Also, if you want to leave an audio comment, you can email me at plex@plexhop.com. Record a piece of audio, like a question or whatever, and then I'll play it on the podcast, and we, you know, respond to it or whatever. Or you can call the number on my website. Just go to plexhop.com. It's right at the top, and it's a Google voice number, so, you know, you just leave a message, and, you know, that'll be cool. You know, and I'll record it, put on the podcast, and it would be really fun to have that aspect on the podcast. So, other than that, you know, just thank you for listening again, and we will see you next week on the Escape Artist Podcast. All right, later.